Om Jnanatamananda Sya Janatana Salakaya Saksu Samilatan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kalamayam Dadati Sa Pandanti. Vanjakopatrubhyascha kripasindhuve vacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So Maharaj Jayati of the Soma dynasty was he lost his youth and then regained it so he could enjoy with his wife Devayani. He was cursed by Devayani, his wife's father, Sukracharya, that powerful Brahmana. So he enjoyed as he desired intimately with his wife for 1,000 years, because no one in their enjoyments in the material world ever feel quite satisfied. And the hope is that if I just change or adjust this circumstance or this or that, then that material pleasure will actually satisfy my heart. But actually, as the pastime of Jayati is saying, that even if one enjoys and attempts to enjoy to one's full satisfaction, one's full satisfaction never actually occurs, rather disgust occurs. So there's a tendency, the materialistic tendency is to think, I'm not satisfied, that's acknowledged. And therefore what I should do is just make this adjustment a little further, change this partner, get this greater amount of money, change this circumstance, remove this person who's getting in my way, and then I'll achieve the happiness and satisfaction that I've longed for. And I look and I see that this person over here, he has something that I want, and we imagine that he's happy. We become envious, jealous of that person, imagining he's happy because he has what we want. And this is the business of materialists, making each other envious of each other. You see this at when the big people, the big famous people, when they have their big parties or big extravagances, the ladies will dress as in a revealing as way as possible, and the husband or the man they're with will be holding her around the arm. And he's very happy that she's looking like this. Why? It's because all the other people become envious of him. Oh, he can enjoy this woman. This is the business of materialists. No one is happy. No one is happy. No one is happy. But making others envious of them, thinking that, oh, he has something that I want, therefore, oh. So this is the way, the workings of the material mind, but the spiritual mind works quite differently. Okay, there are material desires there. Okay. Like Yadu. As we heard yesterday, he had material desires. But that didn't disallow him from being an exalted devotee, because he's actually going to come to the spiritualist conclusion. There is an ocean of difference between the way a materialist thinks and and the way a spiritualist thinks. The materialist is, he'll just go on and on and on and on and on forever, trying to squeeze happiness from where it does not exist. And the spiritualist, even though he may have material desires, maybe he's even overcome by his material desires, overwhelmed by his material desires, but eventually he will reach the correct conclusion as Yayati Maharaj does, and this is what his conclusion is. He's enjoyed for 1,000 years, so-called enjoyed, and Sukadev Goswami says in text 1, chapter 19, O Maharaj Prickett, Yayati was very much attached to women. In due course of time, however, when disgusted with sexual enjoyment and its bad effects, he renounced this way of life and narrated the following story to his beloved wife. He still had affection for his wife, but he understood undeniably, after trying so long, so many times, that no, even if I try for 1 billion years, what to speak of 1,000 years, I'm going to get worse effects, and satisfaction will still never visit my heart. So he began to tell a story. Now, I'm not going to, there are many important purports that Prabhupada gives to the points in this story. And everyone should really read these in detail. We won't read everything, because I would like to make the attempt to finish this chapter. So he told his wife a story. He had come to the spiritualist conclusion that this isn't actually going to bring satisfaction to either my heart or my beloved wife's heart. Why? Because neither he nor his beloved wife were their bodies. They were eternal souls. So he said, my dear beloved wife, daughter of Sukhacharya, what was her name? Devyani. In this world, there was someone exactly like me. So in this world, who is the only person exactly like me? Me, not you, me. Please listen as I narrate the history of his life. By hearing about the life of such a householder, those who have retired from householder life always lament. Lament? In what sense do they lament? When someone is in householder life and he's trying to enjoy himself, he's trying to find satisfaction, and he's dissatisfied nonetheless, he's lamenting when he sees, oh, I could have had this, I could have had that, I could have had that, I could have had this. That's one type of lamentation. But this isn't the lamentation that's being spoken of. Those who have retired from householder life, they lament at the suffering of those who are intent upon enjoying householder life, lamenting for the misery of others. So here is the story that he's going to tell. While wandering in the forest, eating to satisfy his senses, a he-goat by chance approached a well. So this is what actually happened with Yayati and who? And who? Devyani. So he approached the well, a he-goat. He's going to tell a story of goats. Now, goats aren't famous for their great intelligence. Do goats have great intelligence? Nah. A he-goat by chance approached the well, in which he saw a she-goat standing helplessly. This is how he found Devyani. Having fallen into it. How did he fall into it? Samishta pushed her in. But that's not how it's explained. Fallen into it by the influence of the results of fruitive activities. So Prabhupada's purport explains how a woman or a girl needs the shelter of a man. And unless she has that shelter, explained compared to like the creeper of a creeper. A creeper needs something for its support. It needs a tree or a building. It needs something. It doesn't have the same materials as a tree. A creeper always has to hold on to something. So the woman is compared to a creeper. So she needs some support. Otherwise, it doesn't grow. The creeper doesn't grow properly. After planning how to get the she-goat out of the well, the lusty he-goat dug up the earth on the well's edge with the point of his horns in such a way that she was able to come out very easily. Purport. Attraction for woman is the impetus for economic development. House, housing, and many other things meant for living comfortably in this material world. Digging up the earth to make a way out for the she-goat was a laborious task. But before accepting the she-goat, the he-goat underwent this labor. A whole griha chetra sutapta vitar janasya mohanyam ahamameti. The union between male and female provides the impetus for gaining a nice apartment, a good income, children and friends. Thus one becomes entangled in this material world. So this is the first thing he's explaining. So the attraction is there because when the male body and the female body combine together, there is enjoyment. When the she-goat, who had very nice hips, got out of the well and saw the very handsome he-goat. It's funny when we think of this in terms of he-goats and she-goats, especially if you actually think of what goats look like. A very handsome he-goat, a very beautiful she-goat with nice hips. But for the he-goat, the she-goat is very beautiful. When he did so, many other she-goats also desired him as their husband because he had very beautiful bodily structure and a nice mustache and beard and was expert in discharging semen and in the art of sexual intercourse. So there was enjoyment at stake. Therefore, just as a person haunted by a ghost it exhibits madness, the best of the he-goats, attracted by the many she-goats, engaged in erotic activities and naturally forgot his real business of self-realization. So this point is practically speaking unknown in today's modern materialistic civilization, that life actually has a purpose. And the purpose is not to enjoy the body or economic development. People want economic development because economic development gives them power. Power for what? Power for enjoyment. That's why the stress is on economics, because without money you can't enjoy yourself. So the purpose is enjoyment. While in a spiritual culture, though material needs and necessities and enjoyments are accepted as required, but they are not the purpose of existence. Purpose of existence is self-realization. Text 7. So he forgot. He was so involved in his enjoyment, he forgot the purpose of his life is self-realization. When the she-goat who had fallen into the well saw her beloved goat, my dear beloved goat, saw her beloved goat engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat, she could not tolerate the goat's activity. So this is what happened with Yayati, Devayani, and Swamista. Aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought that the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was hard-hearted and was her friend only for the time being. She said she saw the faithlessness of her husband to her, that he was going, as soon as there was another beautiful she-goat, he neglected her she-goatness. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. Her former maintainer was her father, Sukracharya. So So Prabhupada's purport explains that a woman, again, like the creeper, needs a support. So the woman should be sheltered, like the creeper is sheltered by a tree. A woman should be sheltered by a man, either her father in youth while she is young, her husband when she matures, or grown up sons, or back to her father. She should be taken care of. So being very sorry, the he-goat, who was subservient to his wife because he wanted to enjoy with her, and if she was angry at him, there would be no pleasure. He followed the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. "Oh, my dear goat, you are the most beautiful goat. No goat can compare to you. I love you like I love no other goat." So the she-goat went to the residence of a Brahmin who was the maintainer of another she-goat. So this is also insulting her father, because he's in the same category, because he has his own she-goat, his own wife that he's attached to. And that Brahmana angrily cut off the he-goat's dangling testicles, castrated him. But at the he-goat's request, the Brahmana later rejoined them by the power of mystic yoga. "My dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now he has not been fully satisfied." That's purport. When one is bound by affection for one's wife, one is attached to sexual desires that are very difficult to overcome. Therefore, according to Vedic civilization, one must voluntarily leave his so-called home and go to the forest. Pancha sodvam vanet brajet. Human life is meant for such tapasya, or austerity. By the austerity of voluntarily stopping sex life at home and going to the forest to engage in spiritual activities in the association of devotees, one achieves the actual purpose of human life. So the middle years of one's life, when the senses are strong and one sort of doesn't realize that one's going to get old, one sort of thinks he's going to live forever, ever. Okay, then be a householder. But then towards the end of one's life, before old age deeply sets in, one must leave his householder life. This is the Vedic culture. And develop detachment. 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 Very hard, because in those years such a strong attachment is forged. Based on the body only. So at least at the end of one's life, towards the end of one's life, detachment. Detachment should be developed. Otherwise, when one dies, one will be in the physical, bodily consciousness only, thinking of all his material possessions and my this and my that and my fish and my birds and my family and my lawn and my house and my this and my that and my bank balance and my computers and my dogs and cats and horses and chickens and oh, I have to pay this and I have to do that and there's this trouble and I have to over... And then one dies. And then what happens? Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tejanyante kalevaram. Whatever one is thinking about, adishtayam manishtayam visheopasevate, whatever one's, what fills one's consciousness, one will take that birth. And that, so if one's thinking of one's pet, dear, beloved goldfish. I had the experience when I was young. I was possibly 10 years old. I had a pet bird, a blue parakeet. And he was never very friendly. He would never get trained. And then one day, he flew over to me. One night, he flew over to my bed. I think I've probably told this little wonderful little story before. He flew over to my bed and he was going... And he jumped on my hand and he was like trying to tell me something. I thought, finally, he recognizes who his best friend is. Finally, he's becoming trained. And just... and my love for him increased, really, it increased so much. And then the next morning, he was dead. He was trying to... He was trying to look for me, that big fellow, because he's only this big. He was looking for his shelter. You know, I'm the one who fed him, gave him his water, lettuce every once in a while, but not too much. His bird seed. He was in anxiety. So he died possibly thinking of the big fellow. So maybe he became in his next life like that. But if I would have been the one who died, I would have become a blue bird. So now, this is the reason life is serious. Prabhupada once said, look at the non-devotees, look at the devotees. They are spending their whole time and energy trying to figure out how they can waste time. And so much of the world, the energy of the world, is simply dedicated to wasting time efficiently. Between the games and the movies and the videos and the this and the that. How to waste time and enjoy. And Prabhupada said, we are just trying to get them to use their life responsibly. Just the opposite. So now, in the story of the he-goat and the she-goat, Yayati is going to say something. And he is very intelligent. Oh, my dear wife with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like the he-goat. So he didn't say to his beautiful wife with his beautiful eyebrows, who is exactly like the she-goat. For I am poor in intelligence. I am captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. How sweetly he said, he called her a she-goat. How gently he did it. I am captivated by your beauty. I am like the he-goat. So household life can be very dangerous because there is such a tendency just to become so enwrapped in the family. But, as Prabhupada once told me, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that one can be Krishna conscious in any position, but one must be Krishna conscious. Krishna must become the center. Otherwise one becomes very, very entangled. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, if one remains a victim of the so-called beauty of his wife, his family life is nothing but a dark well. Hitvatma patam griyamanda kupam. Existence in such a dark well is certainly suicidal. If one wants relief from the miserable condition of material life, one must voluntarily give up his lusty relationship with his wife. Otherwise, there is no question of self-realization. Unless one is extremely advanced in spiritual consciousness, household life is nothing but a dark well in which one commits suicide. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommends that in due time, at least after one's 50th year, one must give up household life and go to the forest. Vanam gato yad haramashriyeta. There one should seek shelter at the lotus feet of Hari. He continues speaking to his wife. A person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley, and other food grains, gold, animals, and women. Nothing can satisfy him. As supplying butter to a fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the fire wants butter, it demands butter. But it is not that the fire says, okay, now you've given me butter, now I will not demand anymore. Rather, its appetite for butter increases, the fire simply increases. So similarly, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires. When a man is non-envious, and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. So this is the opposite of a materialistic person who is intent on enjoying himself. He is never happy, and he's always seeing all the things that he wants. The more desires he has, the less satisfied he is. The less peaceful his mind is. But on the other hand, when a man is non-envious, self-satisfied, does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. For those who are attached, contrarily, those who are attached to material enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires. Very difficult for the mind. When there's a desire and it's unsatisfied, what does the mind do? It just clings to it. I want it. I'll scheme for it, even though I can't even enjoy it due to my invalidity. I want it. This is the nature of the material mind. But what's being recommended, exactly the contrarily to materialistic contemporary thought, is is to give up the desires, say no to them. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires, which are the cause of all tribulations. So in the materialistic mind, not having what I want is the cause of my misery. And only if I get what I want, fulfill my desires, then I'll be happy. And the way that the spiritualist looks at those the desiring mind is just the opposite. The cause of the misery is the desires, the mind grasping for pleasure where it is not. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat even with one's own mother, sister, or daughter, for the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. So Prabhupada, this verse is very famous. Prabhupada would often quote it, Matra Sparsha Duhitrava. And Prabhupada's purport explains that one must be very careful in dealings between man and woman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited this. One is warned herein that one should be extremely careful in dealings with women. A brahmachari is forbidden even to see the wife of his spiritual master if she happens to be young. So very careful, because it's like a magnet. Like the two opposite poles of a magnet, positive and negative. Very, very strong, and you may not want to put them together, but they pull themselves together. This is just the very nature of the material world, because this is at the heart, the root of material existence. It's not something that exists on the intellectual platform, I won't do this because I know it's improper, or on the mental platform. No, this is at the very heart of the root of the false ego, our material existence, that we want to enjoy. And this is the main bars of the prison of the material world. So Yayati continues, I have spent a full 1,000 years enjoying sense gratification, yet my desire to enjoy such pleasure increases daily. Therefore, he's concluding what his conclusion is, I shall now give up all these desires and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Free from the dualities of mental concoction and free from false prestige, I shall wander in the forest with the animals. Purport. To go to the forest and live there with the animals, meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the only means by which to give up lusty desires. Unless one gives up such desires, one's mind cannot be freed from material contamination. Therefore, if one is at all interested in being freed from the bondage of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease, after a certain age, one must go to the forest. Panchasordvam vanam brajet. After 50 years of age, one should voluntarily give up family life and go to the forest. The best forest is Vrindavan, where one need not live with the animals. Vrindavan animals are the pigs, the monkeys, the dogs, and the squirrels. Those are the basic. Every once in a while you get the assorted camel going through. And birds, so many birds. But there, rather than associating with those animals, one can associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead who never leaves Vrindavan. Cultivating Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan is the best means of being liberated from material bondage. From Vrindavan, one can automatically meditate upon Krishna. Vrindavan has many temples, and in one or more of these temples, one may see the form of the Supreme Lord as Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram, and meditate upon this form. As expressed here by the words Brahmani Adhyaya, one should concentrate one's mind upon the Supreme Lord, Param Brahman. This Param Brahma is Krishna, as confirmed by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Krishna's abode Vrindavan are not different. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Aradyo Bhagavan Vrijeshtanayas Tadhamam Vrindavanam. Vrindavan is as good as Krishna. Therefore, if one somehow or another gets the opportunity to live in Vrindavan, and if one is not a pretender, but simply lives in Vrindavan and concentrates his mind upon Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. One's mind is not purified, however, even in Vrindavan, if one is agitated by lusty desires. One should not live in Vrindavan and commit offenses. For a life of offenses in Vrindavan is no better than the lives of the monkeys and hogs there. Many monkeys and hogs live in Vrindavan, and they are concerned with their sexual desires. Men who have gone to Vrindavan but who still hanker for sex should immediately leave Vrindavan and stop their grievous offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord. There are many misguided men who live in Vrindavan to satisfy their sexual desires, but they are certainly no better than monkeys and hogs. Those who are under the control of Maya, and specifically under the control of lusty desires, are called Maya Mriga. Indeed, everyone in the conditional stage of material life is called Maya Mriga. It is said, Maya Mrigam Dayata Epsitam Anvahat Dhavad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to show his causeless mercy to the Maya Mrigas, the people of this material world, who suffer because of lusty desires. One should follow the principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and always think of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Then one will be eligible to live in Vrindavan and his life will be successful. So we continued. That was Prabhupada's purport. Now Yati Maharaj continues. One who knows, speaking to his wife Devayani, the material happiness, whether good or bad in this life or the next, or in this planet or in the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless, and that an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is the knower of the self. Such a self-realized person can know quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence and forgetfulness of one's constitutional position. Because we're souls. So if one wants to enjoy the material world, or one becomes happy with things of the material world, then therefore one's desires will simply increase more. Therefore the recommendation always is to live simply, not try to increase one's needs. Live simply and think highly think of Krishna. Sukadev Goswami said, after speaking in this way to his wife, Devayani, King Yayati, who was now free from all material desires, called his youngest son Puru and returned Puru's youth in exchange for his old age. King Yayati gave the south east to his son Druyu, the south to his son Yadu, and the west to his son Turvasu, and the north to his son Anu. In this way, he divided the kingdom. Yayati enthroned his youngest son, Puru, as the emperor of the entire world and the proprietor of all its riches, and he placed all the other sons, who are older than Puru, under Puru's control, because Puru was the most dutiful. Having enjoyed sense gratification for many, many years, how many? 1,000. O King Prickett, Yayati was accustomed to it. It's interesting that Maharaj Prickett is hearing this, so there's encouragement for him in this as well, because he's going to die now in just a few days. And in case he may be thinking, oh, I've given this up, I've renounced this, my kingdom, my wife, my family, my animals, well, this and this and this and this and this. No, there's no end to it. At some point, one just has to cut it and say, no more. It's unfinished, okay, but no more. Cut, the end. So having enjoyed sense gratification for many, many years, O King Prickett, Yayati was accustomed to it, but he gave it up entirely in a moment. So very encouraging for Maharaj Prickett. Just as a bird flies away from the nest as soon as its wings have grown. Prabhupada's purport. That Maharaj Yayati was immediately liberated from the bondage of conditional life is certainly astonishing. But the example given herewith is appropriate. A tiny baby bird, dependent fully on its father and mother even to eat, suddenly flies away from the nest when its wings have grown. Similarly, if one fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately liberated from the bondage of conditioned life, as promised by the Lord Himself. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha shami. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, kiratunandra pulindra pukasa abhira shambha yavana kashadaya yene cha papaya lapasraya shraya sujanti tasmai prabhavishnave nama. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasa, Abhira, Sumba, Yavana, and the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. For He, the Lord, is the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him, from the second canto of the Bhagavatam. Lord Vishnu is so powerful that he can deliver anyone at once if he's pleased to do so. And Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be pleased immediately if we accept his order by surrendering unto him, as Maharaj Yayati did. Maharaj Yayati was eager to serve Vasudev, Krishna, and therefore as soon as he wanted to renounce material life, Lord Vasudev helped him. We must therefore be very sincere in surrendering ourselves unto the lotus feet of the Lord. We must be very sincere in surrendering ourselves unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Then we can immediately be liberated from all the bondage of conditioned life. This is clearly expressed in the next verse. 25. Because King Yayati completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, he was freed from all contaminations of the material modes of nature. So he didn't only leave home, he surrendered. Because that verse, Vanam Gato Yad Haramashriyeta, go to the forest, but there take shelter of Hari. Hari Masriyeta, take shelter of Lord Hari. This is the essence, the purpose of renunciation. Renunciation in and of itself is nothing. But it has a purpose. Its purpose is to facilitate the taking shelter of the Lord. So he took shelter of Lord Vasudeva. He was freed from all contaminations of the material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, in other words, he placed himself fully, he aligned himself, he dovetailed himself, his consciousness fully with that of the Lord. And because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon transcendence, Parambrahma, Vasudeva, and thus he ultimately achieved the position of an associate of the Lord. Prabhupada's purport. The word viduta, meaning cleansed, is very significant. Everyone in this material world is contaminated. Karanam guna sangasa sarasad yoni janmasu. Because we are in a material condition, we are contaminated either by sattva-gun, by raja-gun, or by tamagun. Even if one becomes a qualified brahmana in the mode of goodness, sattva-gun, he is still materially contaminated. One must come to the platform of shuddha-sattva, transcending the sattva-gun, transcending goodness. Then one is tribhuta-trilinga, triduta-trilinga, cleansed of the contamination caused by the three modes of material nature. This is possible by the mercy of Krishna. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17, Srinvatam Swagata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantasto Yubhadrani Vidunoti Saritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. A person trying to be perfectly Krishna conscious by hearing the words of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita certainly has all the dirty things cleansed from the core of his heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Chaita Darpana Marjanam, the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, washes away the dirty things accumulated in the core of the heart. So this is the process of purification, chanting and hearing, not just working and working for Krishna. No, without, these are called Sarup Siddhi, forms of bhakti, that they directly have the potency of Krishna. Krishna's names, Krishna's and Krishna Katha, directly Krishna. So by hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, it washes away the dirty things accumulated in the core of the heart. As soon as one is freed from all the dirt of material contamination, as Maharaj Jayati was, one's original position as an associate of the Lord is revealed. This is called Srup Siddhi, or personal perfection. 26. When Devayani heard Maharaj's story of the he-goat and she-goat, she understood that this story, which was presented as if a funny joke for entertainment between husband and wife, was intended to awaken her to a constitutional position. Thereafter, Devayani, the daughter of Sukracharya, understood that the materialistic association of husband, friends, and relatives is like the association in a hotel full of tourists. So this happens all the time. You go to, or if you go to a hotel or something like that, or you're in a train together, or a bus together, an airplane together, you may be sitting next to someone, you may talk to that person, you may exchange this and that, and then boom, the flight is over, the day finishes, you check out, the train stops, he gets off, and then you never see each other again. She understood that the materialist association of husbands, friends, relatives is like the association of a hotel full of tourists. Very temporary. The relationships of society, friendship, and love are created by the maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly as in a dream. By the grace of Krishna, Devayani gave up her imaginary position in the material world, completely fixing her mind upon Krishna, she achieved liberation from the gross and subtle bodies. Krishne manasama visya. Unto Lord Krishna, she fixed her mind with complete attention. And she gave up her gross and subtle body. So because of her husband's purity, she became similarly pure. And then the final verse is a prayer.
Namastubhyam bhagavate vasudevaya vedase savabhuta divasaya shantaya brihate nama.
O Lord Vasudev, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation. You live as the super soul in everyone's heart and are smaller than the smallest. Yet, you are greater than the greatest and are all-pervading. You appear completely silent, having nothing to do, but this is due to your all-pervading nature and your fullness and all opulence. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. All contradictory qualities are resolved, reconciled in the Lord. Prabhupada's purport, and this is the final text of this chapter. How Devayani became self-realized by the grace of her great husband Maharaj Jayati is described here. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam. Hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything into him. This is Navanga Bhakti, the nine processes of bhakti. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. From Prahlad Maharaj in 7th canto. Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting are especially important. By hearing from her husband about the greatness of Lord Vasudev, Devayani certainly became convinced and surrendered herself into the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is knowledge. Bahunam Janamanamanti Gyanavanmam Prapadyante. Surrender to Vasudev is the result of hearing about him for many, many births. As soon as one surrenders into Vasudev, one is liberated immediately. Because of her association with her great husband, Maharaj Jayati, Devayani became purified, adopted the means of bhakti yoga, and thus became liberated. So she surrendered unto Krishna. She surrendered unto Krishna. This is the conclusion here. Renunciation of material enjoyment followed by surrender unto Krishna. Okay, Krishna, I'm depending completely on you. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Yayati Achieves Liberation. So these are all preparatory stories. They also are leading to the birth of Lord Krishna, who also takes his birth as the son of Ayayati's son Yadu, not of the son, but in that dynasty. So in Yayati's dynasty, of the moon dynasty. So in that sense, it's leading to the birth of Lord Krishna in the moon dynasty. But also, these points are very important to place within the heart, so that one can actually take advantage of hearing about Krishna and become fully attracted to it. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Any comments or questions? Who else but the Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada will speak so bluntly about these things? You know someone else? Are you raising your hand? Oh, you were raising your hand. So you were. You, yes, you're meant to be preaching. Obviously.
I'm sort of confused
now. Devayani became pure by associating with me. By associating with me, he just became confused. Yes, Prabhu.
I've heard this, that
just trying to understand this, the detachment from family life and going to the forest.
Yes.
I've heard that for the higher castes, that means taking sannyas and basically heading off on your own to the forest. For the lower orders, sort of Kluga, one basically trogs along with the wife to the forest and sort of die together in the forest.
I think in the old days, the olden Vedic days, only Brahmins would actually take sannyas. But the Kshatriyas and everyone, they could take vanaprastha. Vanaprastha is especially meant for austerities, for the householders, because in householder life, one organizes things around one's comfort. So each of the different stages of life are meant for something different. Brahmacharya, the brahmachari stage of life, is meant for learning, for knowledge. And this is one of the legs of religiosity, of religion, knowledge. Then householder life is meant for charity, and this will keep householder life pure. And that is one of the legs of religion. And then vanaprastha life is meant for austerity, to break one's attachments to all the physical pleasures that one has become accustomed to in householder life. And austerity is one of the legs of religion. And sannyas life is meant for preaching the truth, the absolute truth. And truthfulness is also one of the legs of religion. So if one... isn't going to be a preacher like that, there's no need to be a sannyasi like that. But the real point, because that's what the purpose of sannyas is preaching, but the real point isn't to accept any of the externals of these things. The real point is to take shelter of Krishna. That's the real point. And surrender to Krishna, whatever position one's in. And in other purports, Prabhupada's explained the same point about going to Vrindavan. Going to the forest nowadays means going to Vrindavan, he explains. And there, what to do in Vrindavan is to hear and chant, to somehow stenestita sutagatam tanovan manobir ye piaso jito jito pyasitas trilokyam. Somehow or another, by just... it's not important to change one's position as much as to chant and hear, and hear and chant and chant and hear. And this way get to the essence of the point. Because we tend, I see in myself, the tendency is always to want to make some external change, as if that's going to automatically make an internal change. So sometimes an external change can assist an internal change, but the real point is the internal change. And the internal change that we want is the surrender to Krishna, Sharanagati, giving oneself to Krishna, becoming reinstated as Krishna's servant. I don't know if I answered. I spoke on your topic.
The problem is, I guess that can happen anyway. You can stay at home, basically, as long as you become Krishna conscious, as you hear and chant.
Yes, but these are the externals that are meant to facilitate the internals. So we can't disregard the externals as not important, because they're there for a purpose. Because what happens if one is in one's house staying at home? There's a tendency to just get involved in the family business continuously. That's the problem. So therefore leave that to the young folks. And deal with the reality that you're going to die soon. Be in the place like Vrindavan. There's such a difference between Vrindavan and everywhere in the places in the material world. It's natural to think about Krishna there. Of course, it's natural to you can also get into trouble there. You can waste your time there. But if you have that inclination, you can chant all day long there. You know, that facility is theirs in Mayapur, Vrindavan, Puri, these holy places. They're holy places. There are holy people there. So one can do it at home, but this facility is to make it easier, because at home there are patterns already established that are something else other than this deep spiritual. Anyway, nothing. Any other? Would you like to add something, Prabhu?
Is there a way to answer the question?
Yeah.
What is this? Is there a way to answer the question?
She actually what? Not yet. No. Eventually.
I know. It's not at this point.
No.
Which means that what about her doing when she surrenders at this point? She didn't receive.
She gave herself to Krishna. She stopped thinking of herself as a body, but she fully gave herself. As Krishna, I am your servant, Krishna. I'm under your protection. She stopped taking care of herself. She placed herself fully under Krishna's protection.
Does it mean that basically it means that she practices bhakti yoga?
Bhakti yoga actually begins at that time.
Yeah. Because the direction given on this page.
That what?
The direction, I mean, just can't say we surrender and then we
yoga. No, surrender means to Krishna's will. So then Krishna wills something.
Surrendering also must be followed by action.
Naturally. It's natural. But the bhakti is not only the action, it's the surrender too. Sometimes we think the bhakti is just the action. But because we use the word, we say devotional service. But we just tend to think of it as service, like work. But it's devotional service, seva, bhakti. So it's springing from the devotion. If you love someone, you naturally want to do something for their pleasure. One wants to please them. So it's both things. It's the service, devotion, based on one's devotion. That's the idea. But hearing and chanting is also service. That's what. These are the Navanga Bhakti then.
The other point is about this taking sannyas. This is the thing that this question of sannyas, I'm not saying that the concept of this prana, rasma, dharma system of taking sannyas comfortable in the whole, speaking personally, I'm not,
yes.
Not criticizing. I mean, that we know that it's a friend here, it's good to be Varanasta in order to practice austerity. But sannyas is altogether a different thing. It's just a step by step, an ordinary household, where in general, in any ordinary, the family may depend very much on that.
But this is part of the culture.
Yeah.
So you can't just take one part of it and just say sannyas part of it, and he's going to leave his family and say that's the vanashrama culture. There's a whole culture around that. It's not like the family is left unsupported, which is what perhaps you are hinting at.
Yes.
Yes. It is part of a culture. It doesn't exist independently.
What I mean to say is, one must be practical. The householder must be practical in all circumstances. I believe his duty must come first to his family.
First to his family.
And he should not, I think, even, of course, this is, with the grace of Krishna, Lord Krishna, everything will work out, of course. But if it is a hard thing that if he still got responsibilities for the family, children, and he happens to be the breadwinner of the family, and he suddenly feels that he wants to devote his time. But if he goes in the
so that's whimsical. Whimsical. Oh, today I feel like I want to take sannyas. Okay. So it's not like that. There's alternative means provided. But also we should remember that even if everyone is depending on him, one day he's going to What?
You
He's going to die. Not true, but we should remember that. And we can't just move from that point as if it's insignificant. Somehow, amazingly, although people think that the whole thing depends upon me, somehow, remarkably, when someone dies, the whole thing goes on anyway. So that's also part of reality. So although whimsicalness is not encouraged, but still the reality of the fact that that Krishna ultimately supports people is also there. And one's first duty is to God. That's the point, to Krishna. So we disagree with that point, that the first duty is the family. And then one does, for his pleasure, for Krishna's pleasure, one can take care of the family. So surrender doesn't mean just dropping the family. It means doing what will please Krishna. So how will just dropping the family whimsically, how will that just please Krishna? So if one actually takes seriously the pleasing Krishna part and surrenders to that, then naturally he will act in a responsible way. But also he can't forget that he's going to die one day. So he has to take care of that responsibility too. If he's only thinking, what happens if, I'm being silly here a little bit, but if I leave, what will happen to my pet goldfish? Who will feed them? And then he can stay to the very end and then die. Will that be responsible? It'll be responsible to the goldfish, but it won't be to himself or to Krishna. So there's a balance always of different factors. And the hard part of life in one sense is making intellectual choices, good intelligent choices, amidst all the different seemingly contradictory factors. That's a difficult part of life. But to simplify it and make believe that we're not going to die doesn't solve all the problems either. So one has to make choices and think in terms of what will please Krishna. So that's the first duty. And then if one does that duty, then the rest will be taken care of. That's the basic idea.
Yes, thank you. The third question is, you didn't mention much about women, though. Only it's about men taking sannyas.
Women don't take sannyas.
They're
sheltered. They have their own kind of sannyas. They get shelter. They always remain sheltered. That's the idea. But they can. But the same essential point is there, because of their physical difference from a man, they're not the same external. But inside, they have to do the same thing. Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Yes, let's... Huh? Today is my Vedic birthday. Hip hip hooray, right? No, don't bother. It wasn't